It's time for the Cinema Geekly Podcast, episode 37. My name is Anthony Lewis.
I'm Aaron De La Rosa.
And Glenn Beauvais.
Thanks for checking us out on CinemaGeekly.com, Facebook and Twitter and Google+, and on iTunes as well. Slow week this week for news coming off of Comic-Con. It was not huge.
I think we're all due a rest after Comic-Con.
Yeah, normally there's some like post Comic-Con fallout, but there really has not been a lot of it, and I've still yet to see anything leaked from Comic-Con.
It's not going to happen. There's no way that they're getting so good about that. I've been checking and hunting and nothing.
I can't find anything. Mm-hmm. Nothing. It's driving me nuts. They've really locked down on the piracy this year, which I guess, I don't know, good for you, Comic-Con, but I think we said it last week, it might not be the worst idea if, not just a couple thousand people get to see this footage to build hype for your films. It might be a good idea to actually eventually show this footage to people. But alas, that's not the case. There was a few things. There wasn't enough to warrant a new Geek News post, but there were a couple of things that Aaron did post on the Facebook page at Cinema Geekly, and the first one here is this 47 Ronin trailer with Keanu Reeves is back. Break out the obligatory whoa, because he knows what. What's he know now? He's a samurai, or what is it?
He's a samurai now.
Of course!
Or at least he's trying to be. Apparently he's a half-breed samurai. Like, they're trying to pass him off as half Japanese, I'm assuming. Like, they actually call him a half breed in the trailer.
Oh, so wow, okay.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
That's so how did it look? I didn't look because your post was a warning to me, Aaron. It was not a haunting call to press play. You're like Keanu Reeves and he's a samurai, and I'm like, ooh, staying away from that one.
Right. It's like that's enough right there to get people not to click play. I don't know, like I said from the description. Everything you loved about The Hobbit, Pirates of the Caribbean, Kill Bill, and the first Matrix, mm-hmm. It's essentially like a really dumb version of that.
Okay.
For those of you who are right-handed, it's like brushing your teeth with your left hand while jumping up and down. It's just that jumpy and just off. Like there's remnants of it to make you be like, oh, okay, I could kind of see that, but then it's just close enough to piss you off because it's not quite what it should be.
They have smeared just enough crap on it, yeah.
Yeah, it's like if I give you a sandwich that's, 5% shit, but 95% ham, it's still going to taste like shit.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is pretty much what it's boiled down to. Essentially, it's based off, the old folklore about the 47 Ronin who have to battle, warlords. And
Joe McDonald broke into the podcast. Aaron swore this was not going to happen, but lo and behold,
I still don't believe it's true.
All the way from are you back in Kansas, sir? Or?
I'm back in Missouri. Yes, I was.
Oh, Missouri, of course.
Yes, confused, you can't get that. You can't flip that on me, man. It's Kansas City, Missouri. Anyway, I've been gone. Sorry, so I'm back. So whatever.
Aaron was just talking to us about the exciting new Keanu Reeves movie that's about to blow our hair back, where he plays a sort of samurai.
Yeah, Aaron, I saw that trailer Friday night, and it really looks awesome.
Oh, Joe likes it. Joe likes it.
Yeah, I'm not a big Keanu Reeves fan by any means, and the whole white guy that's playing a samurai, but.
What do you mean?
Whatever, man. It looks cool. It looks like a samurai. It's a fantasy. Definitely a fantasy, and I can get behind that. Whatever. I mean, as long as it's not like trying to be authentic, I'm good to go.
As long as he doesn't.
I think they're definitely trying to be authentic, which is where it's really going to fail. I mean, this thing, it went through a lot of production issues and all that, and just from looking at where it is, where it falls in the release dates at Christmas, they're not really giving it a whole lot of room to succeed. What it's scheduled around, like what movies are scheduled around its release. So I think they're just going to quietly try to put it out and just, hopefully let it fully be murdered when Desolation of Smog hits 2 weeks later.
Glenn, I don't know about you, but for me, this movie would probably be ruined almost instantaneously if And I'm presuming it's the case. Keanu Reeves is given dialogue, so if he talks at all in this movie, I'm pretty sure it's going to kill my immediate... Maybe if he's a silent assassin, perhaps that will work. But I don't know. What did you think of the trailer? Did you get
I didn't watch it yet, but it says I'm an FBI agent, so as long as he says that, I'm good.
Okay.
It's Keanu Reeves doing Kung Fu again. I mean, what more can you ask for?
I mean, he has proven to he did do it well, obviously, in the Matrix movies. So
that should be his new. That should be his. I'll be back. Is I know Kung Fu.
It's his typecast. That's his typecast. Yeah.
Like I think the only way this movie could be better is if they're really trying to be as campy as possible. They need to just digitally implant Nicolas Cage's face over Keanu Reeves' body and just let it roll. Just let him scream about bees the entire time, and it could be a perfect movie.
Well, Joe, if you were pleased with the 47 Ronin trailer, I don't know how it is that you could be overly pleased with this news that I guess they're getting the ball rolling on a Kickboxer and Bloodsport reboot.
Oh, God, yeah.
Jean-Claude Van Damme, as Aaron said, might be rolling over in his grave if he were dead. He might be doing it anyway. Actually, he might be angling for roles.
It just shows you the state of Hollywood right now when I'm kind of pumped for a Keanu Reeves sword fighting movie. I mean, there really hasn't been any good movies this year. I disagree
wholeheartedly, but okay.
Yeah, this year there's been a lot of great movies.
I think it's been a bad year. I mean, comparative to the past couple of years.
Oh, previous years, yeah, I would agree. Previous years have delivered more.
It's been pretty craptastic. I mean, and granted, I haven't had a lot of time to see a lot of movies. Like, I finally went and saw Now You See Me last night, and I enjoyed the hell out of it. And I don't know if because it was good or if it's just because I haven't seen anything for a while.
Right.
So. But I did enjoy Now You See Me. It was really well done, despite sitting in the second row, because it surprisingly was completely sold out when we got in. So
really,
that's crazy. A movie that's been at the theaters for quite a while.
It's near its end of its run. Yeah,
indeed, wow, indeed.
That's crazy. So. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know, you guys. I don't know if Jean-Claude Van Damme is rolling over in his grave. He might be angling to get into these movies. He might be, make me the wise instructor guy or some bullshit like that.
In Kickboxer, I could see him essentially be if they don't entirely reboot the whole story and they essentially just take it back for what it was, he could be the older brother who gets, who gets really badly injured and is just, his younger brother has to come back and avenge him. I mean, the guy who's doing the Kickboxer remake, I don't know if you guys saw the movie by Stephen Fung, hit it earlier, Tai Chi Zero.
No, I haven't seen
it. It came out in 2012.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
It's an amazing, yeah, he's the one doing the Kickboxer reboot. Yeah, that movie is just absolutely phenomenal. But where I'm hesitant for the Bloodsport remake is James McTeague. Mm-hmm. Is the one who's doing it, and he's in a couple of really good movies like V for Vendetta and Ninja Assassin, like I said. But he also did The Raven.
Oh, the Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah, with
mystery Sherlock Holmes movie type thing
with John Cusack. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I don't know if any of you guys saw it, but
it's on my queue to watch it because I like Edgar Allan Poe, and I'd probably watch anything Poe related. But I've not heard a lot of good things about it, so I'm.
Well, in honor of Poe, if you did a bunch of opiates and then watched the movie, it might be okay. I really feel that the Bloodsport remake is just being set up. It's already looking like a complete piece of dog shit. Kickboxer got a little bit of hope for. They got a couple of good writers working on the script. The guys who wrote the movie Air America with Mel Gibson and Robert Downey Jr., which I thought was excellent, and with Derek Fung. Directing, it could actually be really, really good. Whereas Bloodsport, I'm kind of thinking, the only way it could be better is if they recast Donald Gibbs to replay his role from the first one.
Now, are they going to be in? Oh, go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
That would be amazing. Ogre making a little comeback in Hollywood would be awesome.
How much do we have in the way of details for this? Because couldn't it still be possible that these are in the, they're they're in the stream or whatever to be made, but could very easily just disappear and never get made also? Or are they kind of at a point where it's like, no, they are really going ahead with this? And
no, they're really going ahead with it. The studios who are putting them out are relatively not independent, but they're relatively smaller.
Gotcha.
The fact that they own these properties, they're moving forward. And
Anchor Bay!
Just given the directors that they have already to go with them, I think they're pushing through. And the guy who wrote the original script for the remake for Bloodsport did the Karate Kid movies, like every single one of them. He also wrote the Taken trilogy, so there's a little bit of hope there.
When you say every single one of them, are you including the Jaden Smith film?
Yes.
Okay. Boo!
I felt the need just to include that for everyone. And my only hesitation is that the script is actually being rewritten, and the writer's name escapes me, but James McTeague is overseeing the script, and just given his latest couple of movies, it could be a little bit too much. I mean, we'll see like a year and a half from now, whenever these things come out, which one does better. But I'm almost willing to guarantee right now that the Kickboxer remake will be awesome.
Okay, so the other piece of news that we got up on the Facebook page from TV Line, this really isn't all that surprising, though, but it's nice that they've made some official announcements that there's going to be the governor will be obviously returning in the next season of The Walking Dead. And that we're going to get a couple of two-episode-specific episodes, right, with him? Is that going to, like, finish off his arc, or
well, what's going on? That's according to a report from Michael Osello from TV Line. He said that the governor will be in two episodes coming into the season. And then so I did some little bit of digging on my own, and I found from IMDb, which, you know, can be credible, cannot, is that David Morrissey is actually listed on the first three episodes of that season, and not only the first two. So what I said is I think his initial report, Michael Osello's report, is correct, whereas you'll see some snippets of the governor in the first two episodes. But I really feel, you know, as his story picks up and as the events that we saw in the amazing trailer they had unfold a little more, you can start to see some lines being connected from his story to where, you know, whatever's happening in the prison kind of coming together. But I think we won't see him again until the second half of the season, you know, maybe towards the last two or three episodes when they're trying to tie everything together.
Well, here's how behind on things I am. Like this is how, like,
oh, shit. Outside spoiler of alert, Joe. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's okay. I've kind of gathered what has happened with the series anyway.
You're like, who the hell's the governor?
Right.
I haven't watched any of the last season of
Walking
Dead.
So who the hell's the governor? Okay.
I haven't watched. The only show that I've kept up on is Falling Skies.
Okay.
And I started one, but like True Blood, which I love that show. I haven't watched a episode of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's that I'm losing interest in these shows or just
losing time.
You know, I mean, Anthony, you have kids. You know how it goes. I mean, my daughter alone, never mind my son. My daughter keeps me insanely busy. And then being out of town for, you know, 6 weeks. And it's just I'm getting caught back up on movies, so I can't really contribute too much to the conversation.
Feel free to skip True Blood from this entire season.
That's what I've heard. I've heard it's pretty bad.
It's bad.
I don't know if this is an appropriate time since I kind of got us off on the TV a little bit, but if you guys aren't watching Ray Donovan on Showtime, there's something wrong with you. It's with Liev Schreiber and Angelina Jolie's dad. What the hell's his name? John Voight.
Oh, yes.
I've only had the chance. I've got all of them on the DVR. It's, I think, five episodes in come tonight. I've only watched the first episode. The first episode had me completely hooked. I was like, this show is awesome. I've got to watch more of it. Again, then my DVR just started getting more and more backlog. So it doesn't really sound like it's a indicative thumbs up for me. Like, well, you're not even watching it and keeping up with it. I just haven't had that time. So, but it is the first, if the first episode was any indication, it's a phenomenal show and I would go out of your way to watch it.
Okay. So some quick thoughts then, Joe, since you have missed a whole bunch. Do you have any particular opinions about the ginormo gargantuan Comic-Con news that came out as it relates to the next big comic book film releases?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Comic-Con, I mean, come on, it's a total nerd love fest for all of us. And I mean, more so anymore, it's not even really about comics. It's about TV and movies.
Metallica was there.
Right. So whatever. I mean, I still want to go one of these years. I'm going to get around to going again.
Oh, yeah.
But
Yeah, I mean the Guardians of the Galaxy. I don't know. I'd be lying if I said I knew one thing about them. I don't, but I started doing some digging, courtesy of Wikipedia. You know, I was like, well, this comic book sounds kind of badass, so
yeah,
I'll definitely go see that. The Avengers news was just awesome. You know, with Ultron being the, I guess, the big bad guy for the next film. I think we all thought they were going to go with a completely different direction after
with
that.
With Thanos, yeah, yeah.
The cutscene. Refresh my memory. What else came out? I mean, there was so much that came out.
Superman versus Batman.
I was reading about the Godzilla exhibit. That sounded sick, and it makes me want to see Godzilla, and I'm not really a big Godzilla fan.
Oh, same here. The Godzilla, at least the talk of the footage, was sounded really cool. Obviously, there's the Superman-Batman film that DC's doing.
I don't care, you know, I mean, other than, I'm just throwing this out there, other than so now that I've had a chance to ingest all of the Dark Knight trilogy,
mm-hmm.
I can't even remember the first one. What the hell is it called? I always get
Batman Begins.
Okay, Batman Begins was cool because it was different. It was like, wow, this is gritty and... You know, this is what, you know, for people that have paid any kind of attention to the better parts of the Batman comic book, it was like, this is kind of spot on and the gritty and blah, blah, blah. And then the second one came out and it was like, okay, the Joker and Heath Ledger, and he did so well. But as a whole, those movies sucked. Like,
didn't care for him, huh?
I just, you know, at the time I was all up on him, like, oh my God, this is going to be great. These movies are awesome. But looking back, they don't really hold up that well for me. And I'll probably catch a lot of flack from people for that. But I just, it may be because I'm not a big DC guy.
Right.
The Superman Batman deal, I don't really care about. I was like, meh. I want to see the Avengers.
Right.
And then they're positioning it for a Justice League movie, and I'm like, meh. I want to see the Avengers. So, you know, I mean, it sums it up. It's the line from the Avengers. We've got a Hulk, you know, they've got a Hulk and DC doesn't, and, you know, piss on them for that. So,
Glenn, are you licking your wounds over in the corner now? I'm sorry.
Oh no, it's fine.
Glenn's a big Batman fan.
I mean, and don't get me wrong. I am too. I just, you know, like I said, upon repeat viewings, like,
right.
I mean, I think Tom Hardy's awesome. Mm-hmm. Do I think he should have been cast as Bane? No.
I don't think they should have had Bane in the movie, honestly. But...
Yeah. And
a hard one to pull off.
Yeah, truth be told, I think what has done it for me with the Batman movies is, upon repeat viewings, is Christian Bale. I like Christian Bale and everything else but Batman.
I like his Bruce Wayne. I don't like his
great,
Batman.
Yeah, great Bruce though. Wayne, yeah. Dog shit Batman.
Yeah. So I was talking to a friend of mine Friday about that. I'm like, you know, I really didn't like his Batman. It was like the voice and the, you know, like trying to be too.
I think it's the voice for most people. I think it might be the voice for most people because it stands out so much that it's easy to ridicule. You know what I mean? Where it's just like it's like the lens flares in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movie. Like that's the thing people make fun of the most because it stands out so goddamn much. You know,
right,
when you say the Batman movies now, all people say back to you is, you know,
yeah.
And you're like, you know, I mean, I know people that have been like, that's my Batman impression. And they just say things in a really growly way that you can't even understand. And it's kind of spot on a little bit. Like he does it too much.
Right.
To where
it's
distracting.
Almost like, it's like he was doing a parody of somebody, you know, like, I don't know. So that's that. I mean, Batman and Superman. I haven't even seen Superman yet. So,
oh my God, Joe, just go.
They're dying
see
to see it. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of excited to see it. It looks pretty good. And you know, it's the same old Superman story, but you can only do so many origin stories and all that. I mean, we all know his origin, but still, I mean, it's Superman. I'll go see that. My kids are dying to see it. So, you know, the summer's not quite over yet. We still got Kick-Ass 2, which I'm hoping saves mm-hmm. my summer. And then, you know, Machete Kills. I'm really looking forward to that one. So, you know, I mean, it's been a slow movie summer for me just because. So I can't really say This summer, I guess I should take that back. This summer hasn't been bad, but what I've seen has been bad.
Find a babysitter and go see The Conjuring.
People are saying it's good.
That's what I hear. I hear that one's...
it was terrific.
It's being reviewed very well also, which is shocking for a horror movie. Almost universally, those movies tend to be panned, and this one...
Well, and my concern about these types of movies is this genre in particular, the haunting genre, is kind of played its course. You know, you kind of see one, you see them all.
Right.
But what I do hear about it is that it has brought something a little different to the table, which is kind of cool. So,
so the only thing new on the website, like we said, it's been kind of slow since Comic-Con came to its end. So the only thing new on the website... we talked about it last week as it pertains to fans of an eventual Wonder Woman feature film. Hope that this one does well. We have the first theatrical trailer for the next Hunger Games movie is out. I don't know if any of you guys got a chance to see it, but it struck me very much like the last trailer for the Hunger Games movie, which is it didn't impress me one bit. And then I watched the first movie, and I liked it more than I thought I was going to. The second trailer, I got the exact same feeling. Like, this movie doesn't look like anything.
Now, I saw the trailer yesterday, and I haven't seen the first one. And, you know, despite seeing all the trailers for that, it just really didn't pique my interest.
Yeah.
But this one, this trailer that I saw yesterday, I was like, man, I got to go back and watch this movie. I've got it. I mean, my daughter wanted it, so we brought it for her. You know, and she watched it a million times, but I'm like, you know, whatever. So I got to sit down with her and watch it. That'll make her happy, and it'll see if the hype lived up to it for me. So,
any other guys check it out at all? Dead silence.
Oh, I mean, I watched it. I agree with you. Yeah, like it's just kind of like, oh, okay, well, this is going to be an action movie, except there's going to be about an hour before you get to the fighting.
Action, yes.
The Hunger Games.
I mean, that was my thing. It was the first trailer was kind of just there for me. It's like it doesn't look like an offensively bad movie or anything. And then I watched it, and I can see why people said it's like Twilight, but for people who like good movies, because it was a good movie. It wasn't a bad movie at all, and. The second trailer, I don't know what it is. I don't know who they've got editing their trailers, but whoever they've got, they're just not doing a good job of.
I think it's the same guy who does the Mad Men trailers.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
The same guy who gives you the absolutely no teases whatsoever.
Next week, Don Draper eats a sandwich.
Somebody pulls up in a car. Somebody fluffs some sheets. You know, tune in next week. Let's talk about. We do have some questions. Aaron asked for some questions, and I've had a couple backed up for a while, but. I've now bumped it up to enough where we actually might be able to pull some conversations out of them. So I've got five of them ready to go. But first let's talk about the box office. We didn't get to do it last week because there was literally a bajillion things to discuss and we literally did not have the time. So, top of the box office, the top 10, Monsters University is slumming at the bottom. World War Z is number 9. The Heat is still hanging on.
Oh, you know what? I did go see The Heat last weekend. That's where I was instead of doing it was my birthday. So we went and saw The Heat at the Alamo Draft House here in Kansas City, which is, if anybody is listening from our area, it's the best theater in the Midwest.
People keep saying that too. There's an Alamo Draft House in Texas too that people say is awesome for going to see movies at. Glenn,
well,
you've never been.
That's where the original Alamo Draft House is.
Yes.
Now, with that being said, that movie, The Heat, was funnier than hell. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, people are saying it's good. I just can't stand Sandra Bullock for some reason. But I don't know. I may give in to the pressure eventually. Glenn, even though you may not live anywhere near this place, you live in Texas, so I have to ask, have you been to the original Alamo Draft House?
I haven't been to it, but like, I've seen it. But
you're
no,
like,
I've never...
driven past it. It's scary. There's something in a state where someone on the show lives, so we must ask if you've been there. RIPD is still making in the double digits. This is a crying shame that this movie is still doing so well. Then we've got Pac Rim pulled in $16 million. Red 2 did $18 million. Grown Ups 2, For the Love of God, is still making money at $19.9 million. Turbo did $21.3, Despicable Me 2, $24.9, and The Conjuring debuted at the number one spot with $41.9 million, which has to be huge for a horror movie opening. Most of those movies don't open that big, do they?
No, not at all.
It's got 85% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Well worth it.
Probably more than any. And Ron Livingston is in it, for goodness sake. So all
yeah,
the
he
office
was great
space.
In that movie.
With horror movies like that, the more impressive feat is the second week.
Yeah, yeah, to see how.
Usually
how
that's when they try to get all their money back out of it is the first week, you know, and then you see a huge drop off.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see what it does this weekend. And I actually think Box Office Mojo has released the.
It's sitting at. It's still sitting number two at $22 million behind the Wolverine. Yeah.
So, I mean, once those figures shake out tomorrow, it's probably going to be a 50% drop, which for that type of movie is not bad at all.
No, considering that it's already made, you know, more than 20 times its budget, more than likely, I think it's all right.
opening this weekend, I think we've only got a couple of maybe is the Wolverine the only wide release? I know the Aubrey Plaza's The To-Do List is coming up, but is that wide? Does anybody know if that's a wide release or not? I don't know if it is.
I think it's wide. I mean, I don't think it's the theater in where I live, but it's in Dallas where I saw Wolverine. So,
okay. I mean, because it's not a big cast. So, I haven't seen a lot of play anywhere for it. So, but it's gotten a lot of reviews, which says to me that it might be playing wide. That's the poor film that has to be matched up against the Wolverine that'll probably end up taking top of the box office. Glenn, I know you went to see it. Are you going to be sending in a review at some point for the site?
Yeah, I'm going to, when we get done with this, I'm going to do a test and then I'm going to write it. I was going to yesterday and then I was like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to rate it yet. So,
okay. So without getting too spoilery, how would you say it works in relation to the last Wolverine film?
Basically the last Wolverine film did not exist.
Okay.
I mean, they don't mention it. But has nothing to do with it. So, if you saw X-Men or if you saw Origins Wolverine, then
okay. Well, my understanding about the Origins flick was that was like a prequel, right, to the first X-Men movie, and this one supposedly takes place after The Last Stand. Yeah, or do they not reference that?
They don't really say it, but it takes place after 3.
Okay.
Because there is a couple of scenes that it gives you a timeline.
They try really hard to not specifically mention the last movie. It's like, I killed someone a while ago at a place, but I will not define or say anything that will clearly lead you to believe that I'm talking about the last movie, which we want you to forget existed.
Well, yeah. I think just with the mid-credits teaser scene, they pretty much confirm how X3 ended, right, Glenn?
Well, not with the teaser scene. The teaser scene, I mean, do you want me to kind of give you an idea?
Spoiler alert! Turn off the podcast now or mute it for approximately 60 seconds.
It'll be less than that. I mean, this movie is going to lead into futures past. That's what this movie set up for.
So what do they do here? A mid-credit scene or an end-credit scene, or what do they do?
It's mid. It's right after they do the casting credits.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the scene's actually pretty long. I mean, usually they're like, you know, maybe 30 seconds. It was maybe a 2-4 minute scene. Like it was pretty long, and it's well worth it.
They have a lot of stuff to make up for, apparently.
it's pretty sweet. I was going to stay regardless because I'm not a novice, but it was well worth it. And
go ahead, spoil it. We don't care. Spoil it, Glenn.
Okay. So Wolverine's in an airport and he's going to go through a metal detector and he's like, opt to do the pat down because, you know, of course he's like going to make the metal detector blow up.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, you see a guy behind him, and you see the fedora, and you're like, oh, shit, that's Magneto. And all of a sudden, all the change starts moving, and Wolverine can't move. And he stops, and he turns, and he sees that it's Magneto, and he's like, oh, my God, you know, what are you doing here? You're going to kill me, all this kind of stuff. And he's like, no, I need your help. You know, there's forces bigger. And on the TV screen, and kind of off in the distance, it says Trask Industries. So you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, and so... And all of a sudden, like, the people that are behind him stop moving, And as soon as that happens, it's just like, oh shit, they're really going to do this. And then Professor Xavier comes out whenever Magneto's like, oh, I know you wouldn't trust me, but I have a friend that does.
Now, and... is this the old or young?
It's Patrick Stewart. It's Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. Like,
okay, so...
Did they explain for him having his old body back then?
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to ask.
And what about Magneto getting his powers back? I mean, right there, it's telling me, right there what that tells me is that they are going to completely retcon X3 by what happens in Days of Futures Past.
Well, at the end of 3, you know, he's playing with the chess pieces.
Right, yeah. They did do that little teeny tease where the chess piece moved ever so little before they cut to black.
Right.
And if you blinked, you literally missed it. But so Glenn, did they at all make any explanation as to how Patrick Stewart was wheeling on in to save the day here or whatever the case was?
Or was Wolverine shocked to see him? Like, hey,
yeah, he looks at him and he's like, how is this possible? And he just says, Logan, when I first met you, I told you, you weren't the only one with incredible gifts. And so that's how it ends. Now,
so that's they're leaving the tease probably for the movie, yeah.
Yeah, and my friend said, he at the end of X3, and I never saw it because I think he's just making it up. Mm-hmm. But you see somebody dying in a hospital, and that's like Charles Xavier possesses his body, and you actually hear
that is a post credit scene.
I don't remember it at all, so I guess
it's definitely in there. They tease it earlier in the movie, I believe. And then, like, it's like mid-credit or post-credit or something like that. There's, like, they cut into that room, and you don't see the guy's face move, but you hear Patrick Stewart's voice very clearly, like, say something. I can't remember what he says.
No, I don't think his voice says anything. I think...
Or he's thinking it or something?
The doctor just checks on him. Like, the comatose patient, like, says... Like, it's just some random dude who just says something in Xavier's voice, and then she just looks at him and says, Charles, and then, like, that...
Oh, right.
...shade to black.
Charles and
right,
and then they play the Charles in Charge theme, and it was awesome.
Nicole Eggert was hot. It was awesome.
They did not play Charles in Charge, unfortunately. But no, Glenn's gonna have a full write up. But he said, definitely better than X-Men Origins and better than The Last Stand. Where would it rank compared to like the other X-Men, like X1, X2, First Class, things like that?
First Class is my favorite. I think X2 is probably the best. And I would do X2 and then probably Wolverine and then X-Men, which is weird because like I'm not even like a big Wolverine fan. Like that's kind of my problem with X-Men is that they kind of lean too much on Wolverine.
Right.
Way. But granted, Hugh Jackman is a badass.
It's a good actor, sing. Yeah.
So yeah, and you might as well.
Wolverine the Musical coming up next.
Yeah.
You know that's coming. He can't help himself. Before we go into the questions, let's pay some bills, Aaron. We know how this goes. I should have went to Amazon to see what kind of awesome geekly deals they have going on this week, but I failed to do so. I'm gonna have to go find out what's going on at some point, and then maybe edit it into the podcast. But no matter what you're looking for, you can always find it on Amazon. I think we've discussed this, over a quadrillion items on Amazon.com. And you can help out Cinema Geekly by just shopping Amazon like normal. Just go to CinemaGeekly.com on the right-hand side of the page. There is a big button with a big-ass Amazon A that you can click on. It takes you to Amazon. Shop like normal. Buy whatever you want. And then at the end of that purchase, Amazon shaves off a little bit and kicks it back to Cinema Geekly. And this is going to help us out with all sorts of crap like paying for our server and things like that. Important things to keep the website running.
I know one new cool thing they have. I know, for those of you who may not be aware, Joe Rogan's new TV show, Joe Rogan Questions Everything.
Yes.
Debuted last week. The first episode is available for free on Amazon Instant Video.
Well, there you go. For free.
For free.
I don't know if that helps us or not, but if you just
use the link because I'm sure you'll want to shop around and order the rest of the season after you see the first episode because that show was awesome.
But yeah, in fact, bookmark the link and use it every single time you shop Amazon. Amazon just gives us money just for being so nice to them. It's great how capitalism works, isn't it, Aaron?
Get that good Amazon rub going.
Yes, it is. All right, let's hop into the questions. We actually got five decent questions this week.
Next time you pick the five worst questions, and we go with those.
Well, one of the worst questions.
Was it just an insult, like you guys suck, and like that was the end of the email?
You know what? No, I haven't gotten any trollish. I haven't gotten any trollish messages or anything like that. I did have one person.
That's too bad because I love trolls. I absolutely and I love trolling. So you know.
You see, I like trolling too. I spend lots of time like on news websites just trolling random people. But that being said, completely non sequitur, but. No, I think the worst question – it wasn't even a bad question. It was just one I didn't want to specifically answer, but it sort of popped up in a question that we are going to answer, I guess. But it was essentially, why haven't you reviewed Grown Ups?
And oh, who's the asshole who asked that?
I just didn't have the heart. But it wasn't
– fuck. My daughter wants to see it. Apparently there's a bunch of Disney kids in it.
Oh, there's so many fart jokes in it and stuff, and pee jokes. Kids love that stuff, but
yeah. So I'm gonna go see it, and I'll give it an honest review. I'm gonna go this week, taking the kids this week to see it. So you know,
you're letting your kids choose Grown Ups 2 over Man of Steel.
fart jokes, Aaron.
Oh.
Lots of fart jokes, and you see the first one.
My kids will redeem themselves when they have me take them see. Kick-Ass, so...
Or okay. Thor, The Dark World, perhaps.
Absolutely.
I hope I don't butcher the name here, but it's F-A-I-Z-A-N. I want to say Faison. It's F-A-I-Z-A-N.
Yep. Faison.
From New York State. Says, I know you've talked about TV shows in the past that you loved, but since grew to hate, like Heroes or Lost. are there any shows that you started watching that you didn't like at first, but started to love?
Yep.
Aaron, go ahead. You start.
Fucking Supernatural.
Yeah? Okay.
Motherfuckers. Yeah, it was one of those Netflix shows where it's just – everybody just talks about it and it's just there forever. And just on a really bored day, my wife just happened to pick it. She was like three episodes in and I'm kind of barely paying attention, just type away on the laptop. And then I'll just – more and more – the more episodes she just kept watching, the more and more I'm finding the laptop closing. And I'm just sitting here – and now like we blasted through. We caught up. We're all the way through like all night. Like we're ready to rock with these guys like through every one of the seasons. And the first couple episodes you want to hate it because it's just these two pretty guys. You know, they're trying to be all badass. They're talking like quasi-Christian Bales and Batmans. And they're hunting – they're hunting wolves and they're trying to defend like, you know, like what's right. And the one guy's trying to redeem his girlfriend who was murdered. I mean, it's just, it's so easy to hate, but God damn it sucks you right in. And then you're just loving the goddamn show. I mean, absolutely in love with it. I mean, this is something like, you know, I don't generally tell people I like this show. So you're welcome world for this little nugget.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it was one I really started out hating, but man, I love the shit out of that show now.
I think for me, it's probably... I don't know, it's probably something like Sons of Anarchy, which I didn't think I was going to like at all. That totally seemed like 180 and then about 100 miles away after the 180 from something I would like to watch. But enough people said, start watching it. You'd give it a shot or something like that. And eventually, yeah, I fell in love with the show. Although, to be fair, I don't even know if this is like a good answer or not because... the last season or so, I've kind of started not liking it again. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster. Maybe Falling Skies. I famously tried to watch the pilot to Falling Skies three times before I finally was able to stay awake through it.
I told you it was good.
And then I really started. I haven't been able to catch up on the last couple of episodes, but I've watched it. I've watched it since, and it's pretty good. So Joe. What about you? Have you got anything that falls into
yes.
that category?
The one that immediately jumped out to me was Deadwood on HBO.
Okay.
The first episode, I was like, eh. And then by the third, I for some reason, I kept watching it. And by the third episode, I was like, this show's badass. The other one,
Deadwood,
I just
by the way, Deadwood's the one where they didn't get to finish it, right? Like they stopped.
Yeah, which really freaking pissed me off.
Yeah.
Because it was a, you know, I mean, the whole cast was just fantastic.
An amazing show.
Yeah, and then the show itself, the writing, everything was really, really good. You'll have to come back to me because it'll pop back into my head. I can't remember which one it was that I was just
thinking. And oh, no, I got it. Spartacus. I watched the first episode of Spartacus, and I was like, dude, this is ghetto, man. It's like the special effects are bad, and just everything's bad. But like by the second episode, I was hooked. I was like, this is like a really good show. I got past all the, you know, computer animated blood and all that crap, and I was like, this is awesome. So that turned out to be a really good series to watch. So,
okay, Glenn, do you got anything?
Being Human, like I didn't like that show the first time I
watched
it. Which
one, the American one or the British one?
The American one.
Okay.
And I really like it. Like it's not the greatest thing, but it was a nice break in between watching Breaking Bad, and I needed something fun to watch because I didn't want to go in a manic depression.
Yes.
And Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like I willed myself to watch like the first four episodes because I was like, I need to watch it because I want to go through chronologically to work my way to Firefly.
It's Whedon. Yes.
And then I after like the fourth episode, I was like, oh yeah, no, this is campy. This is fun. I don't even need to think when I watch the show.
And now for the part of the program where Aaron urges you to watch the British version as sponsored by the BBC.
I know.
You were so ahead of me. I was getting ready to pounce right over that shit.
As soon as you asked me which one, I was like, oh, God, I should just lie.
You should have said British. Yeah, you jumped right to the American side. Honestly, I know I'm such a BBC whore, but I mean, my God, just watch the BBC version first. I mean, you know, I've seen the American version, and a couple of the casting choices I really like. In a couple of the storylines, the way they diverted from the British version, I thought were really good. In particular, with the young boy vampire that ended up being turned, the way the American version took it was a little darker, honestly, than the British one. But the British one, just overall storylines in general, is vastly superior. Do yourself a favor, jump on Amazon Instant and blast through them.
By the way, if you have Amazon Prime, there's actually an ad for this at the end of the show. So stay tuned to listen to the ad, because we all know everybody loves doing that shit. And Aaron, I swear this is not the same person who asked if we were going to review Grown Ups.
Oh, my God.
But it's a two-part question. It's from Melissa Selden, so we get a nice first and last name. Hello, Melissa. Kenosha, Wisconsin.
Hi, Melissa, and I apologize for what I say about you in the next 3 minutes.
Are you going to review The Lone Ranger? And
son
what,
of a bitch.
And what's up with the grown-ups hate?
Oh, my God. What is it about the grown-ups movies? I don't get
Adam Sandler.
Yeah,
you guys can answer this. What movie was that the last time a movie got so much hate on here from us? Was it it was Twilight, wasn't it?
It may have been Twilight.
Maybe The Dark Knight Rises. But what was that movie Adam Sandler did where he played himself and his twin sister?
Oh,
that,
yeah.
Jack and Jill?
Oh Christ. Yeah, exactly.
Are we going to – well, I am personally not going to review The Lone Ranger because
– Yeah, not
I mean, it could have been a really easy review of, you know, one pair of geeky glasses. It's – Pirates of the Caribbean in the desert. But
I'm disappointed. I was disappointed to hear that was so bad.
I got to say though, I really love that.
I'll end up seeing it, but I, you know, and I'll give it a shot. I mean, I've sat through worse if it's that bad.
Sharknado.
Yeah.
Damn it, Glenn.
Glenn watched Sharknado for us. So,
yeah.
But here's
Glenn taking one for the team.
Let's catch you up here, Joe. Glenn loves movies like this.
Well, he said it was.
I don't mind him either. I mean, I will probably get bored one day and watch Sharknado myself. I mean,
well, Glenn said it was bad even by bad movie standards, though. So.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally.
Okay, but here's the other question as it pertains to The Lone Ranger. Was it a shameless ploy, or were they ballsy to just go ahead and do like the straight up racist version of Tonto, complete with doing a white guy in makeup? Because there's a lot of talk about that, whether it was like a ballsy move to just go ahead and do it like the original, or whether it was really sleezy and shit. Because
no,
by all accounts, Johnny Depp.
I don't know if it was ballsy or sleazy. It's just that they were just, you know, they were going to ride their cash cow and hopefully he chunked out a few million for him. I mean, that's essentially what it boils down to.
I mean, because that was like the big controversy is that it was just the straight up, you know, like racist, noble, savage Native American character from like the 30s or the 40s, whenever that sort of stuff was seemed, you know, more acceptable or whatever. Because apparently they've done other versions of the Lone Ranger where Tonto was more like, was less of a stereotype and was more like a real person.
I think it would have been different with Johnny Depp playing Tonto if they didn't come right out and state that he was a little bit mentally imbalanced, not to mention there's a white guy playing it. Like that alone is just a couple of really big flags that this movie is going to suck shit.
And for the second part of the question, what's with the grown-ups hate? I think we all suggest that you watch those movies and then come back and talk to us afterwards. Because one can only presume that you've never watched them as a result of this question. Because if you'd seen them, I think you would understand the dislike for... you know, I think we've all decided if Adam Sandler wanted to hang out with his friends, he didn't have to spend like $50 million to do it. He could just invite them over to his house. And they
seriously,
could
just, I'll tell you, David Spade was going broke.
I mean,
and
seriously, why not? Why not? If you can do it, why not?
Well, no, I mean, if he can do it, but why subject the viewing public to it? I mean, I don't know. We
I mean, I went and saw the first one. I didn't hate it by any means. I mean, I didn't leave going, I want my money back. You know, but of course, I went into it knowing that it was an Adam Sandler movie. You know, I knew. I'm going to go see this movie. I'm going to turn my brain off for an hour and 45 minutes and laugh a couple of times at the, you know, dick and fart jokes, and that'll be that. And I got my money's worth in that regard.
I think,
I mean, is it an Oscar winning,
No. But I mean, most comedies you know, are. I think the problem.
I have definitely seen worse movies. That I can say that. So with that being said, when I go see this with the kids, I will give it an honest review. I mean, is it going to be worth going to pay the money I'm going to pay to see this movie? Probably not.
Oh, but to make your kids happy, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it gets, you know, there's that aspect of it. But, you know, in my own mind, is it worth it? No.
The money, yes.
Would I rather wait till Blu-ray or, you know, Redbox or Netflix or whatever? Yeah. But, you know, that's just the nature of the beast when you have kids. So, whatever.
Okay. Well, let's see here. What else do we've got? We've got Chris Henderson with no location listed. So Chris, wherever you are, we can make up a location for where
parts unknown.
Parts unknown. Chris Henderson. This is gonna have to be
next door to the Ultimate Warrior.
This is a question I can't answer because I really don't know jack shit about comic books outside of what I've already been presented in films or on television. But he writes, with the overload of superhero films being made, studios are bound to overlook potential characters that would be great on the big screen. Who do you guys think will end up being an overlooked comic character that won't get silver screen treatment?
Jesus.
So somebody that they're probably never going to make a movie about, but is an awesome comic book or that should be made into a film or whatever.
I can't say this, but what I was going to say, because it's kind of defeating of the question, is I'd like to see Spawn redone, like a good version of Spawn, truer to...
Excellent choice. To,
you know, McFarlane's Spawn.
Yeah.
As far as...
I did see that movie, but it's my memory of it is very flimsy. I don't remember much, so...
You know, truth be told, I'd rather watch The Grown-Ups than watch Spawn again.
Oh, God damn it,
although,
Joe.
What they should have done with Spawn, and I'll get back to the question here in just 2 seconds, they should have done the Spawn movie like they did the Spawn cartoon on HBO. So, there's that. As far as a comic book character that won't get made, I'm sure there's at least five, but none are dropping into my mind at the moment. I'm more of a mainstream guy, you know. I don't look, you know. There's, I'm sure, some graphic novels that I've checked out that I'd like to see made into movies, but nothing's jumping out at me right now.
Aaron, you got anything in mind? I'm sure you've got it a lot, actually.
Just one, or
I'm like, you sure you've got a lot? Actually, you're like, no.
The one that really leaps to mind that they've discussed previously, and I just think there's just no way that this movie will ever be made. It's the comic book called The Boys.
Okay. Not heard
it's,
of it.
It was originally by Wildstorm, and now it's with Dynamite Entertainment. Essentially, it goes like this. It's in a world where superheroes exist, and essentially the superheroes, they all kind of – they really just start to enjoy their celebrity status. And, you know, it's almost like Man of Steel where they're going to save – you know, they're going to try to take down one alien but destroy an entire city and murder millions of people in the process, and they don't really seem to give a shit. Wow. Well, the CIA essentially puts together a team of superpowered agents to kind of monitor the superhero community, and they kind of take it upon themselves to really to police the superheroes, and they're not afraid to pretty much just beat the shit out of these guys or, you know, even, you know, do worse to them. That right there is a comic book to me that is primed to be made in a phenomenal movie because it's a very unique spin on the genre as a whole.
Right.
So, my leading favorite right now that I'm really just starting to become comfortable with the fact that it's probably never going to be made is Deadpool. That's a comic book character that is just screaming for his own spinoff movie. They have a script. They've had Ryan Reynolds attached forever. They've done fucking test footage with him. The character has like 6 different comic book runs. He's so hugely popular. Just make the fucking movie. Like, oh, like it's just it hurts me in my testicles that is not a movie yet. I'm just so soul crushed by this.
It could be an X-Force though, right? Is that
possible? He'll be an X-Force, and I'm hoping that that's enough to jumpstart the effing solo movie with him. Like, Jesus Christ, let's get it going.
Okay, Glenn, do you have any suggestions?
Well, I'm surprised Aaron didn't say it, but I know all of us want an Aquaman movie.
Oh, of course. But, how could we have forgotten the Aquaman?
No, Spectre. They were going to make a Spectre TV show, and I always thought a Spectre movie would have been legit. It'd have to be R, so that's probably why he's never going to get made.
I will bite the bullet and be the one to formally suggest that there should be an Aquaman film. I know we're not going to get it, but
he could have Sharknadoes in it. Oh,
it's the movie we deserve, but not the one we need.
You know what they could do is have Adam Sandler make it. That way they could just do an Adam Sandler Grown-Ups Cast Justice League.
There you go. You could do
Chris Rock as Martian Manhunter, Adam Sandler as Superman.
That'd be great.
David Spade could be Aquaman. but Adam Sandler could also double as Wonder Woman as well. So dual roles for Mr. Sandler.
David Spade would be an excellent Aquaman if he were stoned all the time. It'd be perfect if he's just Blaze 24/7 Aquaman.
Kevin James could be a really chunky Green Arrow. Man, I've seen it already.
There was a comic book character. My younger brother, he's the youngest of my brothers. It was around the early 90s. He's still is huge into comics, and it's what kind of got me back into comics is when like Spawn came out, and it was right around the time Image Comics was formed. I can't remember his name, but it was a black guy. He was kind of like Punisher, and Aaron, you might be able to help me with this. Had a skull painted on his face. Does any of that ring a bell?
Not in particular, no.
I think he made a few appearances in Spawn, but I'm not sure. I'll have to ask my brother, or somebody out there probably knows who I'm talking about. I'm trying to find him on the good old Wikipedia, but I'm not having any luck. But
corrections department,
are you talking about Black Mask?
No,
like the Batman villain.
Black Mask is DC. Yeah, I was gonna say.
No. He was like a Punisher. Like he was like the Punisher. I mean, from what I recall, I could be completely off base. But
corrections department, talk to us on Facebook.
Chapel.
Yeah.
He was pretty badass. I think that would be. I mean, for an action flick.
Yeah, he's part of the Young Bloods. Cool. That'd be a pretty good movie to put it out too.
Aaron says.
Yeah, the Young Bloods or Wetworks. You know, any of those old ones.
Oh God, yes.
That would be pretty cool, but way
too adult. You know what I mean? Like, if in Kick-Ass they're not going to touch, the motherfucker, kind of having forceful sex with Kick-Ass's girlfriend, I don't think they're going to tackle HIV being injected to a superhero just yet. So
might be
skipping over that one. Although it would be phenomenal just to see that.
Okie dokie, we've got
Adam Sandler.
We have Riley Hill from Cadillac, Michigan.
Hey,
says,
hey.
As we all, yeah, Michigan, represent, woo, the mitten. As we all know, Avatar is the top grossing film of all time. But I recently saw an article that was accompanied by, I guess, a broadcast they talked about on the news. I think I saw this as well, where they talked about how Gone with the Wind is still the top movie of all time. He's like, please explain this. I think the news thing, the because I saw it on, I don't know if you guys saw it. It may have been on national news, but I think it may have just been local news here in Michigan where they're talking about it. But I think Gone with the Wind is the top, like, as far as, like, tickets sold.
No, it's actually adjusted by inflation.
Inflation, right. Well, I mean, yeah. and I think with like, you know, tickets sold or whatever, like, more people went to see Gone with the Wind. But I don't think anybody should take that as any particular indicator, because, I mean, that's indicative of the time that it came out. I think back then nobody had television, and Gone with the Wind was in theaters for like 75 years, and it just stayed in theaters, so everybody went to go see it probably 150 times. So, you know, back then more people went to the movies than they do now. But Avatar, I believe, is would still be the I mean, not obviously not adjusted for inflation, but as far as,
yeah,
like,
but,
how
but
much money
Avatar
breaking.
Was in theaters from like December till August,
quite,
like
quite
some
a while,
ridiculous
yeah.
run like that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think Avatar gets some props. I mean, even Titanic came out in a time when, you know, VHS wasn't released for, like, you know, like a half year or some shit after the movie stopped its run in the theater.
Yeah,
so
well,
it was in theaters for
here,
a while.
Here you go for top 10 adjusted for inflation. You got number one, Gone with the Wind, number two, Avatar, number three, Star Wars, number four, Titanic, number five, The Sound of Music, number six, E.T., number seven, The Seven Commandments, or The Seven Commandments, The Ten Commandments. Number
it's only
eight,
seven in Missouri.
Yeah, Dr. Zhivago. Yeah, you got that right. Number eight, Dr. Zhivago. Number nine, Jaws. And number 10, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
So, I mean, there you go. Even by the inflation adjustment, Avatar is still number two, which is, good Lord.
Oh,
that's
it
saying
was
a
number
lot.
Two.
Aaron, you're still not jumping on the Avatar. Actually, I'm not even really on the Avatar band. I own it. I think it's a gorgeous looking movie, but it's not one of my top films of all time. I can say that.
If I want to watch a better version of it, I'll just adjust the tint on my screen and watch Dances with Wolves.
There you go. In space.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody, I think everybody by now has figured out that it's like a mashup of like 13 different movies that all have very, like, really similar plot points and stuff. So the last question is from Gareth, who's from Coventry, UK, Aaron.
Hey.
Did you run into him while you were in Cardiff?
I might have. I mean, you know, I did meet some of the people out there, so.
Did anyone call you a wanker and punch you in the face?
No, but I did actually sit in a handicapped spot on a bus, and I neglected to move when a handicapped person got on the bus because I was really not aware of that rule. And then the bus driver was kind enough to give me a heads up as I exited the bus.
It may have been Garrett.
To a leering gaze from pretty much everyone else on the bus.
Oh, okay.
So I apologize to the Cardiff population for that. My bad.
Why didn't we hear this story the first time after you got back? That's an awesome
I'm pretty
story.
Sure I blew that off on purpose. I don't know why I'm telling it now.
You're like, I don't know what the statute of limitations is on doing
it's
something.
It's
got to
be
like
up
that.
By now. It's been a couple months, so I think we're okay.
He says, writing in for the first time. That's okay. Most people are writing in for the first time. He says, a friend of a friend got me listening. So I'm going to have to find out who the friend of a friend is. I think it's really crazy to hear Americans talk so much about Doctor Who. He says, I've been watching since the late 80s myself. What's your take on a possible big screen version of the show? I think we did talk about it once, like maybe way, way, way back.
It might have been like in the teens as far as podcast numbers go.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, I mean, you're kind
I
of the
say anything. I can't say anything on it because I've never seen Doctor Who. So.
No, nor has Glenn either, really. So, Aaron's the expert, and I'm kind of like the expert in training, so... I mean, what are you thinking, Aaron? The last time there was even a thing that resembled a Doctor Who movie, they did what, a TV movie, right? In the 90s?
Oh, Christ, yeah, on Fox with Eric Roberts as the Master. That was just,
yeah.
Oh, I mean, Jesus, yeah. Sorry, the bile is clicking in the back of my throat just to think about that right now. That's really when they were trying to bring Doctor Who to America. So the BBC did work with Fox on that, and there's only so much the BBC could have held on to as far as
I was wondering when I saw that, because like it didn't seem very British when I looked up the trailer. It's like, coming to Fox, this guy.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what?
I own it, and you know I shouldn't, but I do.
You're a completist.
My completionism. Yeah, I know. Fox really had their way. Like, they wanted to change some portions of the Doctor's history, and largely they do recognize Paul McGann, his number as being, you know, number 8 in the Doctor Who timeline, but they don't really acknowledge many parts of that story, whereas in the Fox movie, for some reason, they had indicated that the Doctor was half-human. I mean, there was just a whole bunch of weird shit.
Shrugs!
You know, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, well, like they chose to ignore. Eric Roberts is apparently just really convincing as, you know, Jesus, I don't know. Sorry. Yeah, it just my brain's starting to melt right now. Just
and just
hear it
bubbling over the microphone.
He's really just the temperature is just rising to a point where I'm starting to sweat right now. Just thinking, like, fuck Eric Roberts. OK, we're good. No, as far as a big screen movie goes, I think the closest thing we're going to see will be the 50th anniversary episode, okay, as far as runtime and seeing just such Doctor Who being brought to such a massive level, because the popularity of this show right now, you know, it will never be as big in America as what it is across the pond. However, it is by far and away just gaining like momentum daily.
Right.
As far as popularity of the show, I mean, you can't walk into a fucking Spencer's or, you know, a Hot Topic without seeing a million goons just wearing, you know, Doctor Who t-shirts. And now, you know, if I'm wearing something Doctor Who related, I get a nod from like kids on the street, you know, like they're wearing their David Bowie t-shirts with like a TARDIS belt buckle, and it's like, oh, you little motherfuckers. Like, it, you know, it's great for the show, but it makes me hate it at the same time. It's like, you little dicks. Like, oh, you know.
It's like, oh, no, you're turning us into hipsters. Stop
that. Yeah, you're making me a hipster dick. Stop it. I don't want to be, you know, a Whovian hipster. Just leave me be. But as far as
I'm
going to
go home and
goes,
watch Doctor Who and eat some bacon.
Yeah, exactly.
Ironically, of course.
Smothered in awesome sauce, hashtag sweet, you know, some other dumb shit. the 50th anniversary, I think the runtime of what they've confirmed about the movie so far will be – it could be a good indication as far as where they're going with the movie. I would love to see a major motion picture that might you know, with the show's popularity getting – increasing more and more each season, I think the possibility is coming near, as long as the BBC is in full charge of the movie.
Right,
the only
I
problem
was,
is I think that in order to pull in people who may not be aware of it, I think they're going to need to get an A-list star to be the Doctor, and that's where you run into a trick, because I don't know if they'll essentially want to waste a regeneration just to have a Doctor Who movie come out with an A-list star, or maybe get someone who is sort of B-list on the A-list cusp who could potentially carry the entire show in a movie and then go back to the show after the movie. I mean, as far as casting goes, there's a lot of people who I thought would be perfect who were previously attached to play Doctor Who at one point or another. I know Bill Nighy is still one of my leading choices to be the Doctor. I know he was in talks previously to Matt Smith signing on, maybe taking over for David Tennant. He would have been ideal to maybe lead that sort of charge. I mean, so in the next 5 to 10 years, will be a major motion picture. I would like to think so. I think financially, it makes sense. I think fan base, you know, they're kind of clamoring for it as well. So, you know, the possibility, I think, is really good.
Well, I mean, Stephen Moffat's the showrunner, and he, I think
but
that was
his run is coming to an end, too. So, I mean, maybe once he's right off the show, you know, yeah, it could open up.
Well, I think that was always kind of his concern. I think the few times that he spoke about the subject, I think his concern was that they would not get full control of doing it. And then we, you know, I don't think he specifically went out and said anything like this, but I think the assumption is he's worried that they're going to make like the TV movie they made in 96. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to completely, you know, change the franchise in some way that would be unrecognizable to the people who, you know, to whom it affects most, which would be, you know, European, UK fans and things like that. Because making it for a broader audience, you know, it's, I mean, Doctor Who is surprisingly big in the States, but, you know, not on the level of like, you know, like Game of Thrones or something like that, where it's like, you know, Gigantor here, like it is in the UK, and doing a movie based off of that for a wider audience.
Right.
I presume they would feel pressure to expand it, and nothing's really wrong with that. But if they're like, look, that's why we don't want to do a movie, I am cool with that too, as long as
absolutely.
But I mean, if they did get to do a movie and got hands-on control of everything, You know, I think it would be really cool, but you know, who knows?
Produce it, you know, all by the BBC, you know, under their production, and rolled out here. Just find a distribution partner in the U.S. and do a slow rollout. Let the fan base carry it. Let it expand. You know, and there you see if it has legs. You know, if not, you know, hey, fuck it. The fans, we still get a Doctor Who movie. You know, the people who really love that show are going to see it. We're going to tell people about it. You know, and if everybody doesn't like it, you know, fuck them. I don't want, you know, people who want to. I don't want to see something that, you know, I love and, you know, many others do, just kind of be changed just to kind of kowtow just to the random person who might not get it anyway. Just because it's a wide release doesn't mean people are going to love it.
Okay, let's do the good old Blu-ray releases. There's a couple of big releases, and one of them is a bigger summer movie, which I did not get a chance to see, but. Let's start with the bottom. We have the complete first season of Banshee from Cinemax, HBO, and Warner Brothers. I have never heard of this before, yet has HBO's name on it. Has anyone heard of this?
No, that's that one is beyond me.
Yeah. That's weird. Okay. Especially when it's like the complete first, maybe it's a Cinemax show and HBO has their fingers in it somewhere, but even that seems kind of weird that HBO and Cinemax.
I've never even heard of that show.
Lionsgate's releasing the 2012 film Black Rock.
Oh, yes.
The Criterion Collection edition of The Devil's Backbone, which I've never heard of but sounds interesting. And if it's Criterion, of course, we all know that means it's one of the greatest movies ever put on film if it has a Criterion Collection label on it. At least that is what I've been told. By people who have a lot of Criterion Collection films. It was directed by Guillermo del Toro, so there you go.
Yeah, go rent it immediately and watch it. It's
Scream Factory / Shout Factory is releasing The Fog on Blu-ray. That sounds terrifying. And speaking of which, Shout Factory is also releasing The Incredible Melting Man on Blu-ray. Any excitement for that one? No?
Yeah, that and The Fog.
Okay, well, there you go.
You gotta love Adrian Barbeau.
Warner Brothers releasing the Justice League, the Flashpoint Paradox on Blu-ray. You guys watch a lot of those, like the DC or Marvel animated standalone films? You guys watch a lot of those?
I like the Marvel ones are pretty good. Like the Hulk Versus was awesome. There's been some Avengers stuff that's been pretty good. Okay. Yeah, they're good. I mean, I don't really delve too much into DC, but the Marvel ones are really well done.
I watched just about anything comic book related, and I was lucky enough to see the Justice League Flashpoint Paradox. It had its moments. You know, it wasn't the worst animated thing I've ever seen. Was it as good as some of the Marvel ones? I mean, you know, granted, I'm a Marvel fanboy, much like Joe, so I'm gonna. To stick to what's closest to my heart. But as far as movies goes, the animation. It definitely has an anime look to it, which doesn't appeal to me, so that might be part of the reason why I didn't care for it as much. But the storyline itself was really good, so if you guys have a chance, you know, definitely go ahead and see it.
Glenn, do you get in on any of that that DC animated stuff?
Yeah, I try to watch. That's the one I haven't seen. And then, oddly enough, I haven't seen the Dark Knight Returns. I haven't seen either of them.
Yeah, Kevin Smith won't shut the fuck up about that goddamn cartoon. He's just like, if you haven't seen it, go see it now.
I mean, the comic's good, but I'm not a big Frank Miller fan, so like, I'll get to it when I get to it.
That's his thing. It's like he brought Frank Miller's vision to life on the screen. any Elvis fans in the house? Because Love Me Tender is coming out on Blu-ray.
Oh yeah.
Did I say that on the air? Oh, my bad. Thank you very much. Peggy Sue Got Married from Image Entertainment. Season 4, Star Trek, The Next Gen, that's coming out on Blu-ray. And then the big release in regular old Blu-ray and 3D Blu-ray would be G.I. Joe Retaliation, starring, of course, The Rock and Channing Tatum's face. I'm sure that sold a shitload of tickets, actually, alone. So did anybody get to see the new G.I. Joe flick? I saw the original one, and even though The Rock was in this and I love The Rock, I had zero interest in seeing G.I. Joe Retaliation. So
it was better than the first one, but I would rather watch Grown Ups 2 than watch that movie again.
Yeah, it was better than the first one. I agree. It was what it was.
Bruce Willis's cameo, Call Me Joe. It's awesome, yeah, of course.
I mean, if you're going to watch a good rock movie, you know, this year, I really enjoyed the Fast and Furious. So
I heard Pain and Gain was really good, too, and I haven't gotten a chance to see it.
I dug it. I'm a fan of the franchise. I like those movies. They could do fucking 10 more if they wanted to, and I'd go see them. So.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. I reviewed it, and it's totally not my bag, and I don't think I hated it. So that's a victory for the Fast and Furious franchise, who I know were hinging, waiting for my review to come out up on the website as to whether or not they were going to make Fast and Furious 33 or whatever they're on now. So,
right.
I mean, they remake it, but with Adam Sandler and his friends.
Yes, of course. I'm really all for, you know what? You say this, Aaron, in jest, I think, but
I'm not jesting.
I would gladly watch these movies because they actually sound more interesting than just Adam Sandler's friends playing characters I don't care about.
I'm going to start writing fanfic, but only with the cast of the Grown Ups franchise. And I'm really going to try to get interesting.
It's like sticking
it
to Star Wars, recast Next Generation.
Yeah, recast everything.
I mean,
shot you make like they did with Psycho with Vince Vaughn. Do like the Avengers with the cast.
With a shot by shot remake. I vote for Kevin James as Hawkeye then.
You could do David Spade as Banner, Kevin James as the Hulk.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to do spot on.
Why
casting,
is it so easy to do that with those assholes? God damn it.
I just want to see Kevin James jump off a building and turn around and shoot an arrow while he's falling.
I just want to see him jump off a building.
The views of Aaron De La Osa do not specifically represent those of CinemaGeekly.com or it's a...
It could be a small building, you know, just
it doesn't have to be a big one, just any building.
Not a big one.
You could jump off of, a porch and you'd be happy, I think.
Yeah, he could jump off my shed to a bouncy castle, I don't give a shit, let's just see it, see it happen.
Okay, well, as always, you can check us out on the .com, CinemaGeekly.com, this is like the busy, I think this might be the busiest year we've had. We've been constantly posting stuff. I think we have more reviews up this year than we have in any previous time that we've been putting up reviews. They've been really kind of coming up quick. And thanks to Glenn being crazy enough to watch movies like Sharknado. I think that might be our first TV movie review on the website.
Oh, you just wait till I watch Blast Vegas with Frankie Muniz. That one's coming.
Frankie Muniz.
For those of you who've been wondering what he's been up to, Blast Vegas, everybody. Viva Blast Vegas. Holy shit. Anyway, the website, I already mentioned that. Okay, and you can check us out on Twitter and Facebook and Google+, all at Cinema Geekly, and of course we're on iTunes, where you
and
should,
now Tumblr too. Apparently,
oh yes, I forgot about the Tumblr. We have a Tumblr that's also at Cinema Geekly, where we're going to constantly be posting shit because people have told me, hey, we use Tumblr. Why aren't you on Tumblr? And so that's why I made a Tumblr. I didn't realize this was a thing that people used often, but...
What exactly is a Tumblr? That's like a little bit beyond me.
It's a... You know what? I don't really know what Tumblr is, but if I want to find GIFs from Comic-Con videos, that is where I went. That is where I first saw the Ant-Man stuff. I saw it in GIF form on Tumblr. Oh. And people... they're very unrestrictive over at Tumblr. I think Yahoo just bought them, but they're keeping...
Time for that infamous Cinema Geekly nude calendar we've been talking about doing.
Yeah,
boys.
I was gonna say there's lots of porn on Tumblr, and the guy who runs Tumblr does not seem to care that this is on the service. So I see all sorts of stuff on Tumblr that I'm guessing movie people don't wish to, you know, let out. But I see it on Tumblr all the time. So and I guess that could be seen in the movie sense or in the naked pictures sense, Aaron, I'm not sure. but we're on Tumblr as well at Cinema Geekly, and we're on iTunes, so feel free to subscribe to the podcast and rate and review. Still at last check, I believe you still have to type in cinema and the letter G before our name pops up on the top of the list on podcasts for iTunes. So we need to creep a little bit closer. At least
our Twitter's blown up, so hopefully that transfers over to iTunes.
Yeah, Bear McCreary. Yeah. When you get Bear McCreary to retweet a review that you did, that happens. Bear McCreary, we owe Bear McCreary so much. It's like him and two other people with verified accounts follow us. So or maybe it's three. No, it's two. It's two other people, and then a and then Magnet Films follows us, or Magnet Releasing, or whatever, who released, I believe, the film that we reviewed. So,
yep.
That's our key to success now, is bother celebrities with our reviews until they like us or block us on Twitter.
Get on that.
Everybody loves that. Celebrities love that. We've talked about it in the past. There's nothing they love more than constantly being tweeted by people asking for attention.
I wonder if I could create a Twitter then successfully get blocked by every member of the Grown Ups cast.
That's a cliffhanger for next week, ladies and gentlemen.
Spoiler alert, yes, I will.
Okay, let's wrap it up. Let's wrap it up for Joe McDonald, Glenn Beauvais, Aaron De La Osa, I'm Anthony Lewis. Thanks for checking us out. We will be back next week on the Cinema Geekly podcast. Hey, Aaron, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Who would you say is your favorite DC female superhero who also happens to have an invisible jet?
Wow. Well, she would definitely have to be from the Amazon, and I would want her to be the leader of the Amazon. So if you were, she would be an Amazon Prime. So I would have to say Wonder Woman would be my favorite.
Amazon Prime, Aaron. That's amazing that you just happened to drop that reference. It's incredible.
Uncanny.
Because Cinema Geekly has sold out to Amazon, as a matter of fact.
What you say?
Yeah, that's true. Amazon Prime. We love it. In fact, I believe you also use it. I use it as well.
I use it every day.
And just to actually show you, we have absolutely no proof of this, however, but to show you how sincere we are about Amazon Prime, we've been using it long before Cinema Geekly started affiliating itself with Amazon.
Yeah, we're old school Amazon backers.
We just love it so much.
We
do. You know, we decided, why not? Let's share it with the world. Let me tell you about it real quick, everybody. It's kind of like Netflix a little bit. There's over 30,000 movies and television shows that you can stream on various devices, like the PlayStation, Xbox, Wii, Roku, TiVo. I think you can basically get an Amazon Prime app on anything that comes with app capability. The fun does not stop there. If you shop Amazon, I know a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get all of the movies and the TV shows streaming for free, but you also get free 2-day shipping on literally a gajillion items. And
wow.
I don't think I am overstating that.
I don't believe you are. I mean, to me, that makes it far superior to Netflix, because I don't get free shipping with Netflix.
A gajillion items. If you happen to own the Amazon tablet called the Kindle, not everybody does, but some people do. And if you do have one, especially for your reading purposes, Amazon Prime also gives you the Kindle Lending Library, which means you can kind of go to the digital library, borrow books. You don't even have to buy them. You can borrow them, read them, send them back, and get another book. $79, but that's for the year. That's a one-time payment for the year. And if you piece that out like Netflix, it's actually $20 cheaper than Netflix.
And you get free shipping?
Free shipping, tons of movies, tons of TV shows. It's got a lot
of
the
books.
Free books. It's got a lot of the same content that Netflix has, and some stuff that Netflix doesn't have.
They actually have a lot of stuff Netflix has. Netflix lost all their license to a lot of stuff, like as far as ESPN, kid shows, things like that. That Amazon Prime still has.
Stargate, just throwing it out there. I'm a big Stargate fan. Amazon Prime, they've got a sweet deal going on with us specifically right now, and you don't actually have to spend anything, and you can help us out. There's a banner on top of cinemageekly.com. You click it, it takes you to where you can start a free trial for 1 month with Amazon Prime. If you sign up for that, Amazon sends us money. How cool is that? They send us money to help with our server costs and bandwidth and all of that internet bullshit. And it doesn't cost you anything to do the free trial. You get it for a month. If you love it, spend $79 and enjoy it for a year, because I am never not subscribing again to Amazon Prime, just because it has literally been that helpful. We buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, and I like watching television. So take money away from a giant corporation.
Right.